Welcome back to the Byline Breakdown, the podcast where we tell you the stories behind the headlines. I'm your host, Mike Moliterno, and today we are talking about a topic that everybody's talking about, it seems, and that is artificial intelligence, in particular when it comes to education. So we are talking with Denise Dick, Special Projects Manager at the Business Journal and author of a couple of stories from our March issue. Denise, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So Denise, your story paints a picture of artificial intelligence as a powerful tool for education.
Correct.
Or maybe also in addition to what many people think of when they think of AI and education, which is a perfect tool to help students cheat.
Right.
Okay. Well, could you just share some of the highlights of what you learned from the educators who are using this technology in the classroom?
Sure. Well, like you mentioned, the generally when you hear AI in education, people think of the kids going out and cheating and getting work that's, they just, you know, they're lazy and say, I need a paper on XYZ, and it spits out this that's barely passable drivel on the topic that they asked for. So that's not, obviously that is a consideration that right. is out there, but there's many more benefits to it. And it can make educators' lives more easier. It can, like one of the teachers I spoke to at MCCTC said that he can like change a lesson plan just like that, because he'll hear something on a podcast on his way to work and think, oh, I need to mention that. And he just plugs it into whatever generative AI tool he uses and it spits out the change and it saves him all that time. Mm-hmm. Also, he can record a lesson that he does if a student's not there, and it can summarize the notes for the student, or it can translate if the student's not English as a first language, or he can have the student use the AI themselves to translate it. So there's many benefits to it. And like I was told by many of the people that I talked to, the fear of it is not going to make it go away.
True.
It's here to stay. So you find out a way to embrace it, to use it responsibly, and to teach your students to use it in an ethical way.
Well, and I'm sure I'm not the first person to draw this parallel or make this whatever. But, you know, I'm old enough to remember teachers always saying, you're not going to have a calculator in your pocket at all the time.
Right,
you have to learn it. And it's like, well, now we do. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I have no idea whatever happened to Texas Instruments. Maybe they're still around.
I don't know either.
But nobody has those calculators anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why we had to learn sine, cosine, and tangent.
Well, I'm not going to. They would say that it teaches you algorithmic thinking, at least.
Never used it in my life.
Well,
you should have taught me how to do my taxes.
That's a different podcast.
I know. That's where I want to get. Anyway, that's what I want to talk about. But so who did you talk to about this?
I talked to the interim provost at YSU. And at YSU, they have a AI think tank. They started it this September. Mm-hmm. And it involves people on campus as well as there's somebody from the industry to try to find out ways to determine the best ways to use it and to teach students to use it the right way. I also talked to a teacher at MCCTC and some of his students who are using AI in projects that they're making. It's a software development class. And then I talked to two people at the ESC of Eastern Ohio, Educational Service Center of Eastern Ohio.
Right. Uh-huh. And what did you learn about I can't remember what you just said, that they're working on at YSU, the think tank.
Yeah. Well, it just started in September, so it's new. But I mean, that's I was impressed that they had it. Any tool is going to be expensive, so they're trying to figure out ways to professors can use it and that they can teach students to use it in an ethical and responsible way. So obviously, they don't want the students to use it lazily, like to do the work for them. They want it to use to enhance, like sort of like a tutor. They use that example a couple of times, both at YSU and at MCCTC. It's like a tutoring tool almost. So at the MCCTC, they were talking about it can help a student debug. Like if a student is creating a project and the student says, you know, I've got this problem, tells it this to AI, but I can't figure out why it's not working. That's not teaching them. It's not doing the work for them, rather. It's helping them learn what they did wrong. Mm-hmm. Or the opposite of that is, okay, this is working, but I'm not sure why it's working. And the AI can tell them why it's working. Or you say, I need an idea for a blog on XYZ, and it can spit it out. It's not writing it for you.
Right.
But it's helping you come up with, it enhances your creativity.
Mm-hmm. And the interim provost who you spoke with mm-hmm. is Jennifer Pintar.
Correct.
And from what I read in the story, it seems like she's also optimistic about AI and education.
Yes. I mean, she thinks it's the good outweighs the bad. She's actually doing a TED talk about it. I think it's 99. Education has 99 problems, but AI doesn't have to be one of them. It might not be the exact title, but it's something to that effect.
And there's also some statewide stuff coming out.
The lieutenant governor's office came out with an AI tool for K-12 schools. Like when we were talking to the innovation specialist at the ESC, she said that, you know, this, because it's a technology that keeps evolving, mm-hmm. so districts and schools have to come up with policies. And that can't just be, there's got to be, she mentioned a policy for the district, but there's probably also has to be policy for individual classrooms, because different grades are going to use things differently, different assignments are going to be allowed to use it differently. So yeah, I mean, it's something you have to be on top of, but like, it's not going away.
Right. And you know, we mentioned, we don't want students using it to cheat.
Correct.
So I guess that's one of the challenges of AI. Mm-hmm. How are the educators that you spoke with dealing with those challenges?
Well,
they have to adapt how they assign work, or?
Like I said, it's evolving. So a lot of time you can tell when something's been, when a student has used AI to give me a paper on Huckleberry Finn. And it a lot of the time it'll pretty much regurgitate the same thing, because a lot of kids are going to ask the same question. So
Billy doesn't write like that.
Right. They can, and some of it you can tell, you know, if it doesn't mesh with the students, what you think of the student, if the teacher is familiar with the student's work. But they also mentioned, I think it was the ESC said this, that it flagged the student, a teacher at one of the schools flagged something that a student wrote. And the student said, yeah, I did use AI, but I used it to help me do it. He didn't use it. He'd learned, and that helped him write it. He didn't do the work for him. It was a tool, mm-hmm. and that's how it needs to be used.
So we're going to take a quick break, but when we come right back, we're going to dive a little bit deeper into some of the benefits of AI in K-12 education.
Attention all business enthusiasts in Northeast Ohio and Western Pennsylvania. The Business Journal has been your trusted partner since 1984, giving insights, updates, and fostering growth in your region. From Mahoning to Mercer, from Columbiana to Lawrence, we've got you covered. For just $10 a month or $99 a year, unlock our digital troves, or get both print and digital for only $99 a year. Make the smart business choice. Subscribe now.
Welcome back. Before the break, we were talking with Denise Dick, who was sharing her insights on the positive impact of AI in education. Denise, could you elaborate a little bit more on how some of these students are using AI, how some of the teachers are using it?
Well, like back at MCCTC, the software development class instructor, or teacher, Mike Sakel. So one of the big advantages for him is it helps customize learning plans. Like when I was in school, it was what they call sit and get. The teacher got up there, they gave the lesson, students got it, they didn't get it. It's different now, as people who are familiar with education now know. Some students learn by lecture, some students learn by reading, some students learn by hands-on. So it allows you to more customize a lesson plan to a student's learning style.
Mm-hmm.
That's an advantage. The woman at the ESC, Rachel Ayers, said that for like writing an email, if you maybe writing isn't your strong suit, and you've got to write a business professional email, and normally it's going to take you like 2 hours to do it. So you can tell the AI, need an email on XYZ. It spits it out in 30 seconds. You spend another minute or two to edit it, make sure it says what you want, make sure it's accurate. And that saves you all that time. That's time that teacher can spend getting ready for, you know, working with the students. That's not time they're doing on menial tasks.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the big things that they mentioned too, menial tasks. It can be useful for that. For things like rote memorization and regurgitation, AI is useful for that. Like the Dr. Pintar at YSU mentioned the lower level, I forget the terminology that she used, but things that aren't higher level learning that involve the expertise of a faculty member.
Mm-hmm. But just the other day, I had to send flowers to a funeral.
I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. It was a friend. You know what I mean? Just somebody of a friend. And I always hate having to write the message. And I had AI come up with some idea.
Okay.
No, just for like the card. You know what I mean? Like, what are some sentiments that you know, like, and you know, it was really useful because it even gave it to me as, if this is a loved one, here are eight of them. If this is a business colleague, here would be some eight more that are a little bit more appropriate. You know what I mean? So it was, I didn't say it word for word, but you know, it at least kind of like, oh.
Gave you an idea.
Got me in the ballpark of like the tone.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Okay.
So I guess from what you found out about while you were talking to these people, it's the idea seems to be lean in, right? Not like, well, we're going to keep AI out of the classroom and yeah, sure, some kids are going to use it. It's going to be, no, we're actually going to bring it into the classroom. We're going to start using it to learn because it's going to be a part of your life.
Some of them were more, some educators are more accepting of that than others. To some, it's still, you know, new and a little frightening.
Right.
But once they're learning about what you can use it for, the benefits of it, there's been more acceptance.
Okay.
And your student, like with most technology, a lot of the students know more about it than you do.
Right, than the teachers do. Yeah. Exactly, right. Any other kind of main takeaways or anything that you walked away with?
I think it's something you have to, you know, be aware of, the challenges of it. But I think there's a lot of benefits to it, even for when I've talked to like writing groups about it, and it's not... You know, there's some do have they do the writing for you, and I wouldn't advocate that. But like, give me an idea for three ideas for the best way to say this, like you said, or
right.
for a topic on, I don't know, growth in the valley or growth in Youngstown, and it can spit out ideas, and then that's, you know, sparks something in you, and you do the actual creative researching those steps.
Yeah, I'll ask it to come up with story angles or ideas. You know what I mean? If I have to go talk to a business, and it's maybe something it's
not familiar with.
Yeah, they're in an industry that I'm not that familiar with. I'll put in a bunch of their, you know, their background info that I just can get off the website or something like that, and it'll come up with, you know, some angles that I wouldn't have thought of necessarily. And I still have to do the work, but
right.
I didn't have the industry knowledge in my head to go. In that direction.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? I would have never even thought to ask about that.
So it's a tool. It's
right.
not the you know, you're not being lazy and having it do the work for you.
No.
You're having it help you do the work.
It can't write the story. It doesn't know what the interview, it doesn't know what the person I interviewed said.
And it's not creative.
No.
It doesn't have emotion and.
No.
Right.
Its writing tends to stink a little bit.
Yeah. But that's now.
Right.
You know, it's a likely to evolve.
Exactly.
But it will, I don't believe we'll be able to ever, you know, harness emotion, tell you what ice cream tastes like or anything like that.
Well, thank you very much, Denise. And thank you to our listeners for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe to stay up to date. And if you would like to read Denise's story, we will put a link to that in the show notes. Until next time, I'm Mike Moliterno.
You wouldn't drive a car without a map, so why navigate the business world of northeastern Ohio and western Pennsylvania without the Business Journal? Trusted since 1984, we're the compass pointing you to growth and prosperity. Digital, print, why not both? We've got subscription options tailored for every business-savvy individual. Light up your path to success. Subscribe to the Business Journal today.